Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's a beautiful morning!
Good morning! Good morning! Ooh. Wake up, mister!
What's up, the anchor? Mission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. They found a better way to mortgage that you can focus on making your new house home. Rockin' Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thanks for joining us this morning, everybody. Last night, brawl at Fog Allen Fieldhouse in Lawrence, Kansas. We'll discuss that coming up a little bit later on in the hour, but an ugly scene between KU and K-State, and there is some real blame to go around, specifically from KU, and a player that stands over another player, taunts him and flexes after a block and a 22-point win, and then raises a stool over his head to swing it at somebody, luckily dropped it as an assistant coach came from behind. Because that would have been one of the ugliest scenes in college basketball history had he swung it and connected. But let's talk Super Bowl. Super Bowl 54, Chiefs, Niners, coming up a week from Sunday from Miami. And we will be down there at Radio Row beginning on Wednesday morning of next week to broadcast live with some of the greatest guests and Super Bowl champions and Pro Football Hall of Famers that will come through our doors. And joining us here on the show, a guy that knows a little bit about rings. He's got two of them, a two-time Super Bowl champion, Mac Starks, formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers, with his rings, joining us this morning on the show. Max, good morning. How you doing?
Doing good, DA. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. It's always a good morning when we get to catch up with you. And I want to know, is there a defense that you could conceive of that would stop or at least slow down what Patrick Mahomes is doing?
Oh, outside of fantasy land, I think this San Francisco squad might be the best suited to go up against this type of Kansas City offense. I mean, there's really no defense that's going to shut you out. But I think if you're talking about one that can possibly slow, that can possibly trip up the, throw a monkey wrench in the whole deal, San Francisco's built that way. Defensive line heavy, great pass rush, a team that does not have to blitz to get to Pat Mahomes, I feel. And you have some good corners. I mean, Emmanuel Mosley doing a great job right now opposite Richard Sherman. And I think having those guys on the back half, they can appreciate it. And I think when you've seen Kansas City struggle this year, last year, it's been a team that can rush the quarterback and also have defensive backs who can hold up for a little bit. I mean, let the pass rush hit home and hold up on the back end. And I think with this team, because you can do four and you can drop seven, it's going to make for a very tough day for the Chiefs. And I know Andy Reid's going to have Pat humming and ready to go, but that if there is a team, I think this would be your best shot, is having a stout D-line, non-blitzing, affecting the quarterback, and you can drop seven, you can roll the coverages, you can create some mismatches, you can do some brackets on Tariq Hill, you can keep everything in front of you. I think that's probably our best bet. And once again, this is a hypothetical. I'm just guessing because we haven't really seen it this year.
Do you believe that there was any negative to Jimmy Garoppolo throwing so rarely in his two playoff games?
Well, I mean, listen, we if Tennessee would have won, we would have probably said the same thing about Ryan Tannehill. So I don't think there's an issue with it. I think when you have a solid game plan and there's no need to expose your quarterback to having to throw the football, no need to do it. If you've got the top running game, and listen here, nobody could have stopped Raheem Mostert. I mean, luckily the referees actually left the stadium, which forced him to actually stop rushing the football. because had he still been there, or had a referee been walking with him, he'd probably be in Miami right now, still rushing the football, all the way from San Francisco. So, I mean, why expose your quarterback if you know that around the corner is this team that can score at will, and we're going to need Jimmy G's arm. We're going to need those long distance splash plays throughout the game. We can't time a possess because, I mean, let's face it, we've seen a 24-point and a 10-point lead be erased by the Kansas City Chiefs and losing badly in the first half of a football game to going into halftime with a lead. It's unheard of. It's almost unfathomable. But it happened only way I know this, because we all watched it over the last 2 weekends. That's the reason why we know it's real.
Max Starks, two-time Super Bowl champion, joining us this morning on the show. Let's talk some offensive line play. When you saw Raheem Mostert running for 4 touchdowns and 220 yards, did you say, that's great running by a running back, that's great play calling by a head coach, or that's great offensive line play? Because they were killing the Packers up front, and Green Bay had absolutely no answer.
D, all of the above.
Okay.
No, and reason why I say that is when you look at the last name of the head coach is what, D.A.?
The last what? Last name, Shanahan.
That's right. And we recall there was this Shanahan from the West Coast that had a navy and orange color.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
There was this running back that was a 6th-round draft pick from Georgia.
Yep.
Didn't look like he was going to make the team.
Yep.
And the guy ends up running roughshod over the league. Sound familiar?
Well, and think about all of the guys, the no-name guys that won rushing titles or ran for 1,000 yards, Olandis Gary and Mike Anderson and Ruben Drones. I mean, the Broncos had a million of those guys.
Exactly. And so you don't think that growing up and seeing that from your dad, that having that zone scheme, knowing that you don't have to have the guy. And it's funny enough, you had a big name guy in Tevin Coleman and, of course, Matt Breida. But then it ends up being the undrafted free agent from Purdue.
And that's what kind of makes me wonder, is this Raheem Mostert? And he's a great story. But is it really that the entire league missed on Mostert 6 times, or is it just simply that the Shanahans know how to make anybody a great running back in their zone blocking scheme?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think you have to have a guy with a chip on his shoulder first and foremost, but then on top of that, he has to also fit that scheme to run it, because zone is a very sophisticated, very nuanced thing where, you know, the running back has to know feel. He has to have great vision to be able to read where that hole is going to be as he does flow. He has to be conscious of his offensive line to make sure they can get up to the second level so that you can create that natural cutback arc, so to speak, and they won't get hit by the second level defender. And I thought Raheem Mostert just did a great job. He was a hungry kid, right place, right time, in the right system. The offensive line, of course, if you tell me, hey Max, listen, if you destroy the guy in front of you for the first two quarters, I'm going to reward you and make sure that you only have to drop back, let's say 8, maybe 10 times maximum. You best believe I am getting white knuckled in the dirt, and I'm trying to knock the helmet and the face. I'm trying to knock everything off of that guy in front of me. I'm trying to blow him off the football every time. Because big boys, let's face it, we like going forward. We don't like going backwards.
Max Starks putting it only as Max Starks could. Big boys like going forward instead of backwards, joining us this morning here on the show. So we had Kadri Ismail on the show yesterday. Asked him about the 2000 Ravens. He said Brian Billick knew we needed no curfew in Tampa for Super Bowl week. We had no curfew. That was interesting. You played under two different coaches in the Super Bowl, Bill Cowher and Mike Tomlin. You won both of those games, veteran teams. Did you guys have curfews those weeks?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tampa and Detroit and Dallas, yes. Well, you know, I think for us it was important because we were already such a regimented team, and we knew that, hey, listen, you know, we had a week off at home. You know, this week that we're coming down here, realize what we're here for. You know, there's a curfew in place, but why push it? Why push it all the way to the edge? You know, now, first two guys we got down there, we didn't have any curfew. But as you got later in the week, as you got ready to put your mind, you know, keep the main thing, and your mind starts to focus in on this game, why not have curfew? Curfew is only for those that hate rules. You know, if you're a person that normally, if you're home at that time, you don't have to worry about a curfew. It's no different, right? Mm. It's just in a hotel room,
right?
Versus being at your own house. So, I mean, I think every individual is different. I think the way that our team was built, very blue-collar, very focused individuals, self-motivated individuals, that it was a part of the list, but it wasn't a huge deal. We weren't sitting there like, oh, my God, man, I'm not going to be able to make it to such-and-such's party. It's like, no, such and such a party wouldn't be here if it wasn't for us coming here. So, you know, hey, trust me, after you win it, trust me, there'll be plenty of parties to go to afterwards. From wherever you're at in Super Bowl site all the way to Vegas, L.A., wherever you want to go. Trust me, after we won Super Bowl 40, I had a great world tour visiting places after we had won, from Hawaii to Vegas to L.A. So, yes, the parties will be there. So that's why I think, you know, just having that in place just to help the young guys get focused, because they still need the guidance. They still need that mentor. They still need to see the way and then see the positive results of those type of ways.
I like the idea of a Max Starks victory tour after Super Bowl 40. What was your favorite tour stop in that party circuit?
Oh, gosh. I mean, all of them were special. You know, that's how it goes, right? You know, you just sit there, you just appreciate the moment.
Sure.
It's DA, you know, obviously Hawaii is Hawaii. I mean, okay. That was the old Pro Bowl, right? That was when the Pro Bowl was the week after the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like the natural order of things. You know, it's, you know, you went from, you know, if you believe in evolution, you go from the Big Bang, you know, up to a primate, and then, you know, man walks. I mean, that's how it feels like it should be. Or, you know, you go through the natural progression that, hey, listen, you start at the salad part of the buffet and then the desserts at the end with food in the middle. You know, it's just, it depends on what your you know, your view is. But that's the way the natural order should be. I mean, do you want dessert coming right in between your salad and your steak?
No.
I mean, no. You don't want that.
No.
That's what I feel like the Pro Bowl is now.
Yeah.
So that's the way it was. So that was special because the Super Bowl champions got to be celebrated at the Pro Bowl as opposed to, you know, pretty much written off and put as a footnote. Like, hey, Pat Mahomes made the Pro Bowl, but he's getting ready for Super Bowl, so this is not as important to him right now. Or it could be, when the teams get announced during Pro Bowl, you know, you announce, and Super Bowl champion from the blah, 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 blah. You know, it was a cool feeling to see my teammates get honored because that year it was Marvell Smith, Jeff Harding, Alan Faneca, Troy Polamalu, and I want to say I think it was it Joey Porter, you know, that were honored, and they got to be announced as Super Bowl champions at the Pro Bowl. So, I mean, that was a really cool thing to witness in that process. So I wish the NFL figured out some way of finding activity to keep, obviously, money going from week to week. You don't want to lull in the cash flow. You don't want a extra process on the conveyor belt printing cash. But at the same time, it's a pretty cool thing, and I think it makes the Pro Bowl a little bit more special when the Super Bowl participating teams, because usually your highest amount of guys usually come from those teams instead of having to put replacements in for them. It would be cool. It would be cool to have that dual honor.
I like the idea that you're telling me that the offensive linemen get taken advantage or get taken care of rather after a Super Bowl win, the same way that Big Ben or Troy Polamalu does. There's a lot of parties, a lot of benefits to being able to win a Super Bowl, even for the anonymous offensive lineman.
That's right. That's right. Even the unknown soldiers, you know, of the squad get a little recognition, get a little hay.
Yeah.
In the process.
Yeah, we like that. Max Starks joining us this morning on the show, 2-time Super Bowl champion. My man, it's always good to catch up. Thanks so much for doing it. I can't wait to keep doing it later on in the Super Bowl season and off season.
All right. Sounds good, D.A. Always a pleasure.
Okay. Max Starks joining us this morning here on the show. Always good to catch up with Max. Always fun. Big boys. They like going forward, not backward. Remember that.
Keep the main thing the main thing.
And keep the main thing the main thing. Remember, was it DeMarcus Lawrence who gave us the main thing, the main thing of the main things? You got to keep the main thing.
Main thing is, and that's the main thing. The main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is playing the game.
Keep the main thing the main thing.
That main thing. Got to keep it main. Like Gucci Mane. When we come back here on the show, is the Pro Bowl the future of onside kicks and the brawl at the Fog? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
I have a big wiener in my hand.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
22 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Listen to us. Full episodes, if you miss them or want to hear them again, available in podcast form. It's DA On Demand by going to CBSSportsRadio.com, our website. Also on Apple iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Stitcher, Spotify, Radio.com, or other places that podcasts are downloaded. Let me just say, thank goodness for Amy Lawrence. Because Amy hosts the overnight show, of course. She took over for us when we left the overnights now 5 years ago. We were here. We were in the overnights for 2 years upon the launching of the network. And then we moved to evenings. Amy took over and has done a great job there since. And when we used to come in to the studio after Taz and the Moose, who had the morning show here on CBS Sports Radio, Meat Locker, it was ice cold. I don't know how they worked in those conditions. I felt like I was a body in Goodfellas inside that meat car.
Oh,
I thought I was really hanging by a hook. I'm going, how are they working in here? You know, I don't want to be teeth chatter as I try to spit out takes. I mean, that means that my takes have to be hotter than the temperature of the room.
So the oddity of that, DA, since I was part of that show as well, was that they then dressed for the cold studio.
Uh-huh.
As if they were the ones, or not the ones, that made it cold. Like, they could have just bumped it up a few degrees and not worn a sweatshirt or a pullover or a zip-up.
Now, it's possible that they did this, that they made it an ice-cold studio because they didn't like the lights on and they wanted to be alert. That's a thing. When you're a host, you're in front of the microphone, you don't want to get too comfortable. You could get lazy, not alert. which is why I like the lights on bright, but I also like it warm. I like it really nice and toasty warm. So Amy has this popped up to like 77 degrees every day. It feels like a nice day in Miami when I come in here.
Agreed. Woo!
It's really nice.
Yeah.
And it used to be Meat Lockerville, and you knew that when I would come in at 9 a.m. Eastern time, I would immediately pump it up, but it would take 45 minutes to an hour and a half to really get warm. I come in here, it feels like, now I know why Amy does the Ric Flair so much. She's just so warm in here.
Woo!
Yeah, maybe they were overcompensating for how warm she kept it and then went from 77 to 67.
No need.
But then it was like winter because they didn't adjust it after the fact, so it just kept getting colder and colder and colder.
Yeah, they used to wear like flying from one climate to the other. You know, you get on a plane, you bundled up, all of a sudden you're somewhere warm, you're like, oh, I got to lose this jacket.
But they were wearing like beanies and scarves and gloves in here.
And they were always sick. Has there been a more ill, sick show than Taz and the Moose where we would come in and one of the two, every single day for 2 years, had some form of phlegm, loogies, sneezing, runny noses. Somebody on that show was always sick.
Well,
for sure.
Let me tell you. Moose's kids must just be a petri dish
of germs. I was
going to
say, sweet moose and the mini mooses, that was the problem.
Kids just have so many germs, and the mini mooses, there's like a herd of 10 of them, right?
Yeah, there's three, but it might as well be 10.
And they're all
Taz is going to cigar bars. What do you think? Those are cleanse worthy?
I don't know. You think the cigar bars are where you pick up
germs? Oh, they're licking each other's cigars. They're putting them in mouth. Oh, taste this one. This is the Barracuda from Kentucky. This is the Charlie from Cincinnati. Oh, try this one. Oh, hey.
Those are not cigar bars.
And I'm sharing them.
Yeah. Those are truck stops.
Yeah.
Look at each other's cigar.
Try the Charlie from Kentucky. Nah, I'm good.
Well, has a little extra saliva.
Yeah, but right, that's called the West Village, okay?
You know what I mean.
No, we don't.
Hey, taste my Charlie from Kentucky.
Oh.
Hey, don't you want to take a taste of Charlie?
Extra smoky.
This one tastes like bourbon over here.
Hey.
Just saying, you have kids, and the other one is hanging out with a bunch of buddies smoking cigars every day. That is a combination of flu madness. Forget March madness. And then you come in here and you jack the temperature down to 59 degrees. What the heck you going to think going to happen?
Well, there was a whole thing of that. There was. And Moose, to his credit, fought through a lot of it, but he was always sick.
I wouldn't say to his credit. There was a day where Moose was about to die, and he was still here. We were looking at him like, Moose, you need to go home.
And Moose told me before I got behind the microphone, hey, you're going to need to swab it down because I am really sick. And I go, Moose, could you swab it down? He's like, you're just going to really need to wash this thing down because I'm really sick. Yeah, I'd rather not be the one that mops up your streptococcus phlegm, if that's okay.
Oh, no, not that noise.
No, please. By the way, Pro Bowl, real quickly here. The Pro Bowl this year is going to institute a new onside kick alternative. Now, they will have no kickoffs like last year. They don't want that collision. That's fine. It's the Pro Bowl. Who cares? It's a meaningless exhibition football game. At least it's not Team Jerry Rice versus Team Michael Irvin anymore. And instead, because there's no onside kick, well, because there's no kickoff, the onside kick will be 4th and 15 after you score from the 25. Now, what was it last year in the Alliance? Because I like the Alliance. Was it 4th and 12 or also 4th and 15 from like the 35?
4th and 12. I'm trying to get.
It was 4th and 12 from beyond the 20.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the yardage. Oh, no, placed at the 25.
Oh, it was. Okay.
So same thing. This is just 3 yards more in the NFL.
Okay, I don't remember this, and I apologize because I fancy myself as an Alliance expert here.
I believe the San Diego Fleet converted in a big rally comeback versus Salt Lake City Stallions. I believe that was the Siciliano Sunday night game.
Ironically, nobody circles the wagons like the Salt Lake City Stallions.
If I remember correctly, this was the same game Cam Kelly had 2 pick-sixes in.
Savant, right there. I mean, this is why. Does it even matter that Mraz can't get proofreading the reads right? He knows every play that has happened like Sean McVay in Alliance history.
Who are you aligned with?
So let me ask. You score a touchdown. You're still down by, let's say, 7. You go for the onside kick, which is 4th and 12 from the 15-yard line, you said?
25.
25-yard line. Let's say you pick it up. You pick up the 15 yards. Do you then get...
It's like you reset the down from where you get that play from.
Where you got it, at the 10-yard line.
Right. And if you, on 4th and 15, need to convert, and at least it was the case in the Lions, if you were to, let's say, guy makes a guy miss, runs for the end zone, it is a touchdown. It is essentially, it is a 4th down play, so anything that happens from that play would be football rules.
So I love the idea of figuring out a way to have an onside kick, because onside kick are now down. Last year was down to 7% conversion rate. This year was at 12%. Historically, it was at 21%. So that's, it went from 21% to 7% last year. So there's almost no way to get one anymore.
Because that's in line with the way they reconfigured the way you line up. You can't overload one side anymore. It's like near impossible to recover it.
So I like an alternative. What I don't know if I love is from the 25-yard line, a 4th and 15, and if you get it, you get it from inside the 10,
basically. No, your own 25. You've got 75 yards to go for points. It's your own 25.
Your own 25. Okay.
So think about if you were to recover an onside kick. So by the time you get to that 25, you're at the 40.
Gotcha.
It's basically establishing where you would get the ball after recovering an onside kick.
Okay. Then I like that, because I thought it was from the opponent's 25. You're basically right
Yeah, exactly. So if you figure and you get about 15, 20 yards, you're going to get it essentially where you would if you were recovering an onside kick.
Do we all like this? Unanimous?
Oh, I love it.
It's
I
a
love
good alternative
it.
To the
and also,
kick.
Let the offense and defenses decide that and make a play, and it's going to create intrigue. If teams are trotting out there, are you going to stand up on your seat because you got Roberto Aguayo ready to kick a ball off the side of his foot and it go nowhere, maybe it trickles out of bounds? Or if you're handing the ball back to Aaron Rodgers versus the 49ers, you're going, all right, Rodgers, you got a 4th and 15 play. What do you got?
And 4th and 15 is hard, but it's doable. It is not impossible.
Right.
It's not 4th and 25.
What's going to happen, though, is this is going to get instituted, and undoubtedly there is going to be some kind of fluky pass interference that gets called in one of these big games on it, and people are going to go crazy.
Well, this is the test in the Pro Bowl, and I almost guarantee within 5 years it's in the NFL.
I agree.
That feels like it's inevitable.
It's safer compared to the onside kick, no doubt about it. But there will be. We will be doing the DA show 2032,
okay.
All right?
So 12 years from now.
We will have had a cold open.
The London Jaguars.
Right.
We're in the game.
We will have had a cold open, and the cold open will have been something regarding a pass interference on an onside kick.
London Jaguars versus the Omaha Chargers.
Right.
And there's going to be a 4th down flag.
4th down flag. Miley Cyrus now is 40 years old.
Okay.
And the Terminator LeBron movie jackrocketed up in the box office.
Jackrocketed. I like how your benchmarks of where we are in society is the age of Miley Cyrus.
And LeBron's Terminator movie. That's a guarantee to happen.
By the way, vote before we get to the end of the show at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter. The better impersonation, was it SpongeBob calling in from the pineapple under the sea earlier this morning?
Wow, this is the coolest thing ever.
Or was it my John Gruden impersonation? Right now, it's a much closer vote than you probably would give me credit for.
DA, this is the coolest thing I've ever been for in my entire life.
Andrew Bogish is in with your headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning. These headlines are sponsored by NFL Network, your home for the most playoff coverage anywhere, all the way through Super Bowl 54. NFL Network, one network all postseason long. We have talked about it all morning long. Here's how the Kansas K-State brawl sounded with Brian Haney and Greg Gurley from Learfield IMG College.
K-State still fighting for the ball, looking like they're Monmouth. They'll rip it away, but the batter clock to end the game. And Silvio gets in the face of the Wildcats, who'd stolen the ball as he was trying to dribble off the clock. He posterizes the Cats, and now there's a scrum. Players from both sides at each other.
Oh, no.
Now they're running into the handicap section behind the basket. There are fans involved trying to separate the Wildcats. And this just ends ugly.
Kansas.
They're running into each other's fists here and stools that they're holding.
You know, this is pretty nasty from the beginning. And it took them a long except for the back of the color guy going, oh. Like, that's not really the full description. I mean, they were full-on fighting, stomping on guys into the seats immediately.
So it might be possible, though, sitting courtside, it's hard to see over what is happening because there's probably the melee down to the end of the court that you can't quite see what is happening.
Although I think they, I think they sit on the other side from the scorer's table, so they wouldn't have been blocked by the players going in the handshake line or the coaches already there.
It might just be hard to see where they are because they're at midcourt and what's happening is at the end of the court. What I would say, though, is that it's always funny to me when announcers know that they have to act like this is a bad thing. Like last night, Boog Shambi was on the ESPN broadcast, and he just had a series of, oh, no. Oh, this is bad. This is a bad look. Oh, this is bad. Because you know he can't call it like, there's a right uppercut. Oh, he's got a stool.
He can't do Kevin Harlan.
DeSilvio is picking up a stool. He can decapitate somebody. You can't act like it's acceptable, but you have to kind of comment on it. So when brawls happen, announcers usually just have to be down the middle. Oh, this is bad. Oh, this is a bad look. This shouldn't happen. Oh, there's no reason for this.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I was going to bring up right now that this is actually the second brawl we've had in college basketball in less than a week because Saturday night.
Best season ever
maybe,
for college hoops?
Sacred Heart and St. Francis PA fought during handshakes.
Well,
earlier in the second half, there was a hard foul.
It's UNC Duke.
Wasn't called a flagrant. They went at it, and I was trying to play the play-by-play, but
I'm sure Nance and Grant Hill were on that game.
Well, the Nance and Grant Hill of NEC front row, whoever covers St. Francis games. But that was the problem. The audio was so bad I couldn't play it, but that was their call.
The audio is so bad because you couldn't hear the announcers?
Because it was the only audio online is someone taping their TV. So that second level of recording just ruins it for our usage. But that was their call. Oh, this is bad. This has to stop. This is a terrible look. Get off the floor.
At least
get
the only,
back in the locker room.
At least the only person watching the game cared to tape it for us.
To actual college basketball last night, another blowout win for Duke.
Hurt faces up at the top of the key. Backs out of it. Sizing up Wartburg. Pulls from three, and he's got another one.
22 points now. Four threes. And it's 75-42.
John Roth, David Shoemade from Learfield IMG College. Matthew Hurt, 22 points and an 89-59 beatdown of Miami. San Diego State won, is now 20-0 after beating Wyoming 72-55. Number 9, Villanova took down number 13, Butler 76-61. Derek Jeter and Larry Walker are Hall of Famers this morning. No surprise with the Yankee shortstop. Plenty of surprise with Walker. Even he tweeted earlier in the day he doubted he was getting in. And then he got in wearing that SpongeBob SquarePants NASCAR shirt.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is the coolest thing I've ever been for in my entire life.
Now, wearing Expo, Rocky, and Cardinal jerseys, Walker won 3 batting titles, 1 MVP, and 7 gold gloves. You need 75% of the vote to get in. Walker got 76, just 70 for Curt Schilling, but with no one of note becoming eligible next year, most people think Schilling will get in then.
Well, and you can't convince me that there's a lot of voters that don't vote, or at least some block of voters that don't vote for him because of his very polarizing, divisive, oftentimes very negative political commentary or social commentary. I mean, that absolutely factors into this. At one point in time, he retweeted a picture of a T-shirt that said, what, noose, tree, journalist, some assembly required, and was like, this is awesome, dude. So you think journalists are going to automatically ignore that?
Well, and see, and I think he's a little bit different than, like, Eddie Murray, who was just a jerk at times to the reporters.
Of course.
Like, there are things that he was just flat out completely heartless and wrong about, like things that you could hold against him. Now, I still think you need to move past it and put him in the Hall of Fame because those things don't change
absolutely
his baseball resume, but this is a slightly different conversation than a guy who was
absolutely
just a jerk in the clubhouse.
No question. I find it hysterical, like when John Heyman fought me on this on MLB Network. Oh, well, you know, Eddie Murray didn't talk to reporters. Steve Carlton was a jerk. No, it's way different when a guy doesn't give you good quotes in the clubhouse
right
versus a guy that is the middle of one of the most explosive political times ever and is oftentimes tweeting really polarizing, really divisive, really negative commentary towards at least some part of our social strata. Whether you agree or disagree with his takes, of course that factors into this, and it really shouldn't. It should just be about the numbers, and he should be in the Hall of Fame.
In the NBA last night, the Mavericks lost at home to the Clippers 110-107, ending a 4-game win streak. They did get Kristaps Porzingis back after missing 10 games with right knee soreness. KP just 10 points on 4-for-17 shooting. For those of you scoring at home, I've written 5 updates so far this morning, and twice I wrote Dirk Nowitzki instead of Kristaps Porzingis.
And for what reason?
Tall white Mavericks. I think that's okay. My brain is misfiring.
For 200, Alex.
New Giants head coach Joe Judge opening up more beds in his halfway house for four head coaches. Freddie Kitchens and Brett Bielema expected to join Judge's staff, but we don't know their exact role just yet. Jay Gruden apparently resurfacing as the Jaguars' new offensive coordinator. Are you doing Jay Gruden instead of John Gruden, maybe? Have we gone down that avenue?
Well, look, Jay Gruden's Gruden is not as Gruden as John's. John's is the heavier, more saturated Gruden. Now, I think I'm just doing some type of Gruden, but I do think that my Gruden has lost some mileage off the fastball because right now, if you go to watchda.com during commercial breaks or go to the thread of our poll question, Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, has pulled my best Gruden, and he's posted that. And that's actually a pretty, pretty good Gruden. It's just that it's been watered down. I was basically in the pineapple under the sea today.
We have not mentioned Antonio Brown yet this morning. He and personal trainer Glenn Holt allegedly assaulted a moving truck driver yesterday at Brown's Hollywood, Florida home.
Jeez.
Holt was arrested last night, charged with felony, burglary, and battery. Police had been unable to contact Brown as of last night. Now, he hired a moving van to take things between houses, and then apparently something happened to the driver.
I mean, look, if you get hired by Antonio Brown, if you're anywhere in his orbit, really bad things happen. And you could only imagine that there's some disagreement. AB didn't like what he did. Suddenly it escalates into a fight, escalates into a physical confrontation. There's an assault. I mean, and you're hired to do things for AB or by AB. You kind of can't say no if you're hired, but would you, if you had a choice, be anywhere near this guy's orbit right now?
No, and don't forget the police just last week swore off basically dealing with him because of that video that he posted, and now they're called back there for something that seems to be, you know, obviously serious and legit.
And how crazy was it that he was volunteering in the police athletic league?
Right.
I'm like, where did that come from? That's definitely his agent telling him do something nice for the police after all of this stuff. And the whole thing is, I mean, it's so gory already and will only end really, really poorly.
Novak Djokovic, Roger Federer, Serena Williams, Coco Gauff, Naomi Osaka among the winners on day three at the Aussie Open, and legendary high school hoops head coach Morgan Wooten has passed away. That was last night at the age of 88. Wooten won over 1,200 games at DeMatt the Catholic. He is in the Naismith Hall of Fame. DA?
Thank you, Andrew. Travis in Houston tweets, the gobbler still has the best and most accurate impersonation in show history. He impersonated a turkey.
And then Sean ate him.
Technically, I think Travis in Houston is right. The best impersonation in show history is the gobbler impersonating a turkey.
I agree, but technically, he didn't specify a turkey. It could have been any turkey. You know what I mean?
You need a specific turkey he was impersonating.
Like yes, because
Fred the turkey.
Because we're doing specific people.
Okay. Not a species.
Right, exactly.
He was impersonating a human.
It is very easy. Anybody can imitate a human. Anybody can imitate a turkey.
How would you impersonate a human?
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay. All right. Anything else?
Howdy, y'all.
Okay, so it's certainly a Southern American human.
Oh, you want to listen to the DA show, 6 a.m. to noon Eastern?
Okay, so a New York Italian human.
Right. Who doesn't know the clock?
Oh, the Pat McAfee show is next. Okay. We go high, you go low. I have a weird waist.
I mean, my follow-up would be, how many different turkeys do you know?
We eat one every year, don't we?
Yeah, but do they have personalities? Do they sound different?
Look, again, have you ever been to an ecology center?
Watch it. He's got you there,
he
Buzz.
Does. You're right. You've done the research.
When we come back, deep dive into analytics on the DA show with your poll answer and your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
All right, so I thought that it was going to be a butt-whooping today on the polls because Bogish and Mraz have led a smear campaign against my John Gruden impersonation, but we asked the question, who had the better impersonation on the DA show? Is it SpongeBob SquarePants who called in earlier this morning, or is it my John Gruden? And in fact, 54% of you said it's SpongeBob, but that means 46% thought it was my John Gruden. So not the whitewash, not the blowout, not the annihilation, not the Niners over the Broncos 55-10 in Super Bowl 24. That, friends who needs friends like these, would have had you believe a lot more respect than they give me for my John Gruden impersonation. Can we play just a little bit of SpongeBob SquarePants calling in before we get to your epic fail of the morning?
DA, this is the coolest thing I've ever been for in my entire life. Well, good morning, DA, and everybody in the mothership. Wow, this is the coolest thing ever. So cool.
It's time for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly. Think O'Reilly for all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Jonathan is in Topeka, Kansas, and asked, DA, what do you think the NCAA or the Big 12 should do with D'Souza? Should he be kicked out for the year? Yes, he was the one that stood over the K-State player, Gordon, DeJuan Gordon, and taunted him after the block at the end of a 22-point win, ultimately escalated the entire thing into a melee, and then picked up a stool and nearly swung it at somebody before he was stopped by an assistant coach. He should be done for the season. I would not kick him out of college basketball forever, but I think the rest of the season is absolutely what you need to do after last night's brawl at Fog Allen Fieldhouse. It is time for your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And Mraz's work ethic called into question yet again.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
You're like sitting in the spray zone at the hot dog eating contest.
Okay, so Bilotti comes into work on a hot July day. He's in nothing but tighty whities, and he's got beef jerky stuffed down his underwear. You would take one out of his underwear and eat it?
It is the volcano pork shank.
Well, I mean, if he threw it at me and it was an event, yes.
Okay.
Not at work. I'm not just going to take beef jerky that came out of his underpants. Look, again, it's just people's comfort. I'm a big fan of, look, make things more fun, more interesting. Larry Walker made the Hall of Fame more fun last night. Instead of just something stuck up with a speech. Like, but wearing the SpongeBob thing was like, oh, maybe I care to see what Larry Walker shows up to the Cooperstown in.
SpongeBob is listening from a pineapple under the sea at radio.com. Who knew that you get service down there? Good morning, SpongeBob.
Well, good morning, DA, and everybody in the mothership.
Give me an A, buddy.
Can I say this just one time, please? Can I get a beam up to the rocket ship, please?
Yes. Granted.
Wow!
Mega bucket!
A real-life rocket ship! DA, this is the coolest thing I've ever been for in my entire life. So anyway, I sent Larry Walker that jersey that he wore yesterday. He called me up and said, hey, SpongeBob, can I wear one of your jerseys? And I said, sure, Larry, what's the occasion?
One more crack like that and you're out of here. No, please! I have three kids!
And he said to me that he was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. So cool! I can't believe it, DA.
Midward is my best friend.
And I can't believe that I'm with you. And the Raz and the Body and Bogus. Wow, this is the coolest thing ever. And DA, I gotta tell you, you rock.
What do you think I'm paying you for?
Thank you, SpongeBob. SpongeBob SquarePants calling from a pineapple under the sea.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
My journalism professors at the Newhouse School at Syracuse are right now shaking their heads saying he's not one of ours. Cosmo tweets in, now that Mraz's strike/lockout is over, it is time to take a deep dive into the end results. A comprehensive study, in my opinion, will result in unions all over the world rejecting this strike as a blueprint for future work stoppages. It was not all that effective. Mraz got nothing of what he wanted, none of his demands, had to end up coming back and paying more restitution to the rest of us. And also, he crossed his own picket after one day. And he would have crossed the picket line within 90 minutes of the first day had we allowed him to.
I have a weird waist.
We forced him to wait it out at least one day. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA show and sidekick. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel and your audio director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA.com. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.